Welcome back to the Cullen Smart Book Club podcast. My name is Lubin Schmidt, and I am here with my dear friend and partner in business, Dracul.
Hello, Lubin. It is a pleasure to see you once again. I am Dracul.
That you are. Now, we have been brought in because Barney and Matt are in lockdown and underground or something. And
yes.
So we are the new hosts after last week where, you know, there was some problems with them, the host. Did you listen to that podcast?
I had not heard of this podcast until I received a surprise email from you, my good friend Lubin Schmidt. We had not been in communication for quite some time. I last saw you at my air conditioner dealership. That was when last we met, and when first we met, dare I say. And since then, I have not participated in the podcasting sphere, so I do not know the history of this podcast. If you would like to enlighten me, Lubin, I would be pleased to hear it.
Well, as far as I can tell, it is a podcast about books and reading books and discussing books. And for the listener, if you are a bit confused as to how we know each other, me and Dracul, we are business partners in the sense that Dracul sent me an air conditioning unit from his workplace of Harvey Norman.
And yes.
And I use that to cool my home. And let me tell you, it is the best cooling system I have ever experienced.
It doesn't get better than a Daihatsu, does it, Lubin?
I had my doubts, but no, this is the best aircon I have ever had.
There are a lot of air conditioners on the market. There's a Mitsubishi, there are many options, but you cannot get better than a Daihatsu. And that is the Dracul guarantee.
Right. And so I wanted to have you on when I had this opportunity because I am second cousins with Barney, he usually hosts.
Yes.
And he said this might be a good opportunity to, promote myself. And I thought if I'm going to promote myself, I must bring on somebody and promote them. Because what comes around, goes around. And that is why I have brought you, Dracul, the best salesman at Harvey Norman, right here.
That's right. I am the best salesman at Harvey Norman. The Dracul guarantee sends air conditioning units out the door faster than you can say kapow. I send the units out and people say, I got it from Dracul. And that sends more people around.
Oh, Dracul, you are good at your job. I tell you that much. You are good at your job.
And you are a fine customer, Lubin. You were absolutely wonderful to participate with. You ask me questions about my life. You ask me about my family, my friends. You mentioned earlier you are cousin to Barney, one of the hosts of this podcast, yes?
Yeah. That is true, yeah. And I like to think of myself as one of the best customers of any shop. I love shopping centers. I tell you what, on a Saturday morning, I am through the gates, through the doors, you know, at 9 a.m. And I am going through and I am just roaming around the shopping center. Mm. I love the clean safety of the shops. I love going down there to buy meat.
Yes, I saw actually. I normally, as a salesperson at Harvey Norman, I normally just keep my mind on the job and I service the customer. I sell them the Daihatsu, they go out the door and I forget about them. But Lubin, you made an impression on me. And I could not help myself. I soared to the rafters of the store and I looked out through a glass window and I observed you moving about the center. And the way that you glided from shop to shop with such enthusiasm, Lubin, you clearly enjoy the retail experience so very much.
I do. I am a capitalist. I tell you that much. I am a capitalist. I like to use capital to buy products.
As now, well Lubin, you should.
Now, Lubin Schmidt is a name that many people may not know because I live in the northern suburbs of Perth. It's very hot.
Yes.
I have to stay inside a lot of the time with my aircon on. So
yes.
I don't get out much. I don't get to see the world. But my one trip that is important is going to shopping malls in the
yes.
aircon and enjoying the safety of being inside that tiled environment.
I think something you and I agree on, Lubin, is it's important to have a ritual. It's important to do things in a considered manner, in a way that is important to you. For you, of course, it is going to the mall, the shopping center, the industrial facility, and capitalizing on the products. whereas for me the ritual may involve the flesh of a virgin boy. Or perhaps it involve, I don't know, maybe the wholesale burning of village, things of that nature. We both have rituals is what's important, and I encourage our listeners to do the same.
Absolutely. Rituals are so important. Every night before I go to bed, I count every single brick in my house to make sure that the bricks are still standing together. And if I sense that there may be a brick that is maybe falling apart, you know I am straight on the World Wide Web and I am finding myself a new brick to buy. Now,
you have piqued my... I'm sorry to interrupt, Lubin, but you've piqued my interest there. How many bricks does your house have?
Well, my house has 27,000 bricks.
Holy moly. That is so many bricks. For me, it is not so much a matter of ritual, but more about longevity. I have spent so many thousands of years in my house that I cannot help but have to find things to do. And of course, I have managed to count all the bricks in my house as well. And let me tell you, Lubin, you win, my friend.
Ah, you know, I always thought it's good to have a lot of bricks. And so I am not surprised that I have beat you there. But you have seen my house. You have. I remember. You are so polite. I remember you came to the door and you said to me, "May I come in?" And I said, "Of course." And in you came.
I did. I have to ask permission. That is another little ritual of mine. I must ask permission at the door to enter through the threshold. I do not even enact that ritual if I am going into a holy place. I simply turn and I walk the other way. I do not enter the holy place. I only enter people's homes with their express permission.
Well, let me ask you, what is your thought on, I know you are not a fan of the church.
I am not a fan of the church, Lubin. I am not a fan of the church. Not because I disagree with their beliefs. Honestly, I think they have a lot of good policy. It is more that they have a problem with me. They turn me away. They turn me to dust. They burn me. They burn my family, etc., etc. They are very, very cruel to me and to people like me, and that is where we differ. Me and the church. The nasty church, I call them.
Yeah. I mean, I do not think of myself as one that likes to pray. But, you know, it is hard when you have gone through what I have gone through,
yes,
that you do not seek solace in a higher power. And actually, this brings me on to one topic, of the topic of which we are doing today, which is books.
Oh, books.
It's a book club podcast. But I wanted to ask you, you mentioned you had been turned into dust. How many times have you been turned into dust?
I have been turned into dust, I would have to say 5 to 6 times in my long life, in my career. I would have to say of those times, 50% were accidents. And I do not hold it against the person who turned me into dust. The other 50%, very intentional, actively attempting to turn me into dust. And I don't know what you think being turned into dust is like, Lubin, but it is not as pleasant as it sounds.
Yeah,
the body does not naturally like to take a dusty form. The body prefers to cohere. The body prefers to be one nugget, as it were, of flesh, as opposed to many, many individual flecks, which is what I have been turned into 6 or 7 times.
Yeah, I mean, I remember me and my wife were absolutely mortified when my little boy Johnny came in and he was so excited with his Holy Communion, showing the crucifix.
You went
from delighted to shocked to dust.
I went from delighted to dust. That is so true. And I do not hold it against your son, Lubin. I do not hold it against you nor your son. The Holy Communion is a very important part of a young boy's life. I would be excited too were I allowed to do a Holy Communion and share it with my loved ones and people who have entered my home. So I do not begrudge him shoving that crucifix into my face, and I can only hope that my blood-curdling scream did not traumatize him in any way.
I do not think so. I mean, he has 8 brothers, all under the age of 10, so they were all able to come to...
What a handful!
Yeah, it's very intense. It's very intense. And they, you know, they were able to come together and help him, but they all kept on saying, Dracul is an evil man. He's an evil man. Nasty.
I've heard it all before, and I've heard much worse. You know, they barely touch the sides with those ones, Ruben. I've heard all kind of nasty phrases, you know, and I know what it's like to have kids. They say funny things.
Yeah.
I have, you mentioned earlier, you're a cousin to Barney. I like to think of myself as a cousin to most people in the world, for having lived for so long, I am likely related to most people on the planet.
Yeah, because I know you said to me you are a Casanova. I've seen you in Harvey Norman talking to those ladies.
Let's just say I do. I have a bit of a way with the ladies. I have a way with the ladies, a way with the gentlemen. I make my way around. I've learned the art of charisma over my many, many years of life. I have found ways to channel it into constructive ways, namely selling Daihatsu air conditioner.
Yeah, and you are very good. I just want to finish by saying, before we move on from the dust thing, which we kind of have, but I would like to say, I'm so sorry for vacuuming you up into my Dyson. I'm so sorry about that.
Please, it is all forgiven. There is no apology necessary. In fact, keeping all of my dust in one place is the best way to help me cohere. I have, if you had merely brushed me around or let your boys throw fistfuls of me at the walls, it would have taken me maybe 10, maybe 100 years to recohere. As it stands, it only took year and a half, and now here we are.
Yeah, well, I'm so pleased that you are so forgiving, and perhaps the Catholic Church could learn a few things from your forgiveness,
That is absolutely right, Lubin. That is a great point. I send that straight to the Pope.
Now, I want to ask you, I'm not a big book reader. I don't read books, you know, at all. Apart from the last 2 weeks, in my house, a giant crow came, the biggest crow I've ever seen. And it took off with my TV antenna.
Oh, no. A crow. Norm, I often commune with the crows, the bats, the things of the night, things of that nature. I will have a word to say, crow. What was their name?
I'm not sure what the crow was, but he was huge. He was like the Hulk Hogan of crows.
I will ask around. I will make sure that all the crows, the murder, I think I will have a word to them, because I do not want you to be without your television, Lubin. You need your shows. You like to watch, of course, your Midsummer Murder, and you watch your football, and you watch all those kind of things. So I don't want you to lose that.
Oh, no, thank you very much. You know, television is very important to me. So, as a result, I went hunting, you know, for a book, you know, to read.
Of course.
And I don't know if you like this, but I found a very special one. It is called Damascus by Christopher. Christos? This bit, is it Sikokaka? What is the name?
That says Christos Tsiolkos, Lubin. Christos Tsiolkos. I believe it is a name of Greek origin.
I thought it was Christo Sikoka, and so Sikokokaka. And so what happened was I went into the bookshop and I'm saying, where is the Christos? Where is the Kikokokaka? And they say, there's not, how do you spell that? There's no book like that. You know, I'm in Dimix trying to get this organized. I already been to Borders. And they're saying, we don't know, sir. We don't know. And I said, he's the slap. He made the slap. He slaps.
He loves to slap, is Christos.
Yeah, he's a slapper. And so, I said, give me the book about violent Bibles.
Violent Bibles?
Yeah, so this book is very violent, which is why I am liking it so much.
Oh, so you're a fan of the violence, is that right, Lubin? That is what you look for in your television programs and in your books and that kind of thing.
When I watch TV, I want, Midsummer Murders for me is the entree. And then I move on, you know, and I start watching more gory material. I might watch Game of Thrones. I might watch, you know, maybe like a show about making, you know, doing operations. And then I finish every night at 11 o'clock by watching Human Centipede.
Oh, wow. Every single night, like a ritual.
Yeah, it's a ritual, exactly.
It's a ritual. Now, that is quite a long movie. That is a minimum of, let's say, 120 minutes. I think that was in the era of 120-minute movies. And you're telling me you do this every night?
Yeah, I do it every night. I'm very tired, I tell you that much.
I bet you would be watching that every single night. You would barely sleep a wink. Now, of course, that means very little to me, as I do not sleep a wink. I do not sleep even one wink. I need not a single wink. And in the long time that I have been alive, I have actually had the pleasure of reading every book, Lubin.
You have read every book?
Every book. You name it, I've read it. I've read that Christos Tsiolkos Damascus there. You're right, it is violent. It has nothing on my exploits, let me tell you. But it is a little bit violent. There's some nasty stuff in there, but old Dracul over here could tell Christos Tsiolkos a thing or two. Let me tell you that.
Oh, you could tell him a few things about violence.
Yes, let me ask you, Lubin, have you ever committed acts of violence?
Me? I have not, you know, I have not been committed for any acts, but I have, at the Boxing Day sales at JB Hi-Fi, I scramble. I'm like a wild donkey. I'm like a crab with pincers. I'm grabbing bargains and I'm grabbing other people, biting. I want to get their bargains. I love to shop and I love Boxing Day, and then I get violent then. But when the security come, I run.
That is a good attitude. You run away from the aggressor. I do the same when I am in the midst of an act of violence. Should I be pursued by someone who is carrying, let's say, a wooden stake, gun with silver bullet, if perhaps they are a member of the Catholic Church, I turn into bat and I fly away. I do not try to contend with the aggressor. I simply leave my victim drained of blood and I move on for the next big thing, you know? I think we, you and I, have more in common than I thought we did, Lubin. I tell you what.
Did you think it was a little weird that I asked you to be on this podcast? I was worried that it was a little weird.
Can I tell you the series of events from my perspective?
Yeah.
So there I am, I'm at Harvey Norman, it's a normal shift, a normal day in the life of Dracul. This customer comes in and he's a very exuberant fellow. I think you might know him, his name, Lubin Schmidt. And he...
that is I.
That is you. And he comes in and he's very passionate about air conditioning, not dislike myself, Dracul. And I sell him Daihatsu air conditioner. And I ask him if he wants the bonus where I come around and help with the installation. He says, absolutely, I come around. I come around to your house about a week later. In the interim period, you invite me out for dinner a couple of times. We go out for a couple of dinners. It's lovely. You have a wonderful wife. We go out and we have a spaghetti. Then on the weekend, I come in and I install the Daihatsu, and that's when I meet your children, and I am turned to dust, okay? Yeah. From then on, I spend sort of a year and a half in stasis. I am gradually congealing my parts back together. And when I come to, lo and behold, I have many notifications on my iPhone device. Not a few of them are from you, with the most recent one asking that I come on the Cool and Smart Book Club podcast. Now, I have to admit I was confused, but I was pleased that you were so concerned. And I am grateful for that. While I don't understand what was going on here, I am glad to be part of it.
Yeah, thank you, sir. You know, I'm pleased that you are glad to be part of it. Because, you know, when I thought I'd lost you, my new best friend, I started going down a dark spiral. A dark spiral. You would not believe. I was up late at night. I watched the Human Centipede, and then after that, I would go on eBay and try and buy Willy Wonka chocolates when they were released by Nestle. Do you remember that?
I remember it vividly, and Lubin, one of these days, you must take me up on the offer to come to my house, because guess who has stockpile?
You have the chocolate, the Willy Wonka.
Now, I have not mentioned this to you previously, Lubin, because I didn't want to come on strong, but a moment ago you said two very special words to me. You said the words, best friend. And to me, the definition of best friend is man you can share gobstopper with.
Oh, that is great to hear, Dracul. That is great.
I have the gobstoppers, I have the nerd ropes, I have the fudgy chocolate with the filling in it, because it's a very particular texture of the chocolate, isn't it? Did you also play the Flash games online that they also had?
Oh, the Flash games on the Willy Wonka website.
Oh, no, yes.
I did like those. Oh, yeah.
They were fantastic. The vermicious canids, you fought them, you shot lasers, etc.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it is my dream to own a laser. It is my dream.
And a worthy dream that is, Lubin. One that, unfortunately, I cannot grant for you right this moment, but I will do everything in my power to provide you with a laser. I have lived through so many eons of games. I've lived from the beginning of throwing rock at a tree to chess, to Scrabble, Monopoly, and, of course, to the Willy Wonka Flash games, and through many eons of technology. And I can only hope I will be around when lasers and hopefully time travel exist. And should I outlive you, my friend, I will be right back.
That is so nice to hear. That is so nice. That is such a... It's so great. You know, when I moved here from South Africa, I was very concerned that I would not meet many friends. And unfortunately, due to my schedule and the walking I do around the shopping center, I have not. But it's funny to me that in my favorite place, I have managed to meet a best friend. And I won't hear a single word against the fact that you are a vampire and murderer of virgin boys.
Thank you. And this is the thing for me as well. I think we've both encountered a similar scenario here where you can't find time in your schedule. You think you have to make time in the schedule to make friends. And what neither of us realized is you make friends within the schedule. You make a friend at the mall, I make a friend at Harvey Norman, and so many of my co-workers, Lubin, they don't understand that I only murdered the virgin boys so I can drink their blood. It's not a matter of... I'm not a malevolent person. I'm not nasty, I'm not angry, I'm a good guy. I'm just hungry.
Yeah, and we all are hungry, you know. We all get hungry and we feel that anger, you know.
We do.
If you go and shoot a cow... or go and shoot a horse to eat, you know. That is the same thing, you know. I don't think it's a big deal that you need to feast on this particular group of people. And I agree with you that meat that has not been fucked is much better.
I couldn't agree more. If the meat has not been fucked, it is better to eat. Can I just say that night, in the week when... So on the Saturday when you came in and you bought the Daihatsu, and then the following Saturday when I installed the Daihatsu, and the intervening week when we went out for dinner two or three times, can I say one of my favorite parts of that was the night where we went out for the spaghetti, and afterwards you took me out in your car, and we went out and we shot a horse and we shot a cow.
That was a great night.
You are a great shot, Lubin. A great shot.
Thank you. I have had to adapt and become a great shot because of this crazy world we live in.
It's a crazy out here. It's true. And it doesn't get any less crazy, let me tell you. It's always been crazy, always will be crazy.
So this is not the craziest times you have lived in?
It's up there, let me tell you. It's up there. There's some crazy bananas cuckoo stuff going on right now. But it... You should try the 60s.
Yeah, I wish I had tried the 60s, you know. I think that would have been great, you know. Sugar Man, the Beatles, you know, it would have been all happening. It was so exciting. These days, everyone's on their phones. Everyone is playing games, Candy Crush, and they are going on the internet to look at women's buzzies. You know, I don't need that. What I need is real risk, real excitement. The human centipede shooting things with my friend Dracul.
Can I ask you say you don't like the phone, you think it has no real risk. Let me ask you, have you ever tried the phone gambling?
I love to make gambling on sports bet. I do.
I'm not surprised you do. I took you for a betting man. You're a man who appreciates a risk and you run at it and you get the reward. And that is one thing I really like about you, Lubin Schmidt. You're a risk taker, and I thought that would translate to betting on... You bet on the ponies and you bet on the greyhounds. One of the things I remember, the night we went out and you shot the horse, just the moment after you shot it through the brain, you said, "That's for not winning, you stupid cunt." And then you shot it again in each of its legs.
Yeah, I do get very involved with my racing and my betting, especially when I lose, because let me tell you, I have 27 credit cards and they are all maxed out.
That's the way it should be. What's the point of a credit card if you do not go to the max, Lubin?
Exactly. Why set a maximum? Why have that as a number if it's not a target or a goal?
That's right. Life is about pushing things to the limit, finding the maximum of your potential, like Tom Cruise.
Exactly, like Tom Cruise. I love Tom Cruise. He has the right attitude.
Tom Cruise, fantastic in Interview with a Vampire, might I say. I was consultant on the film. Him and I had many words, and I got to know him quite well. He has a tooth in the exact center of his face.
He does have a tooth in the right in the middle.
He does, and that's how I knew when I saw him. I thought, you are going to be right for this. Because so many vampires are depicted as having the two teeth wide, wide teeth, canines.
Yeah.
Whereas he played against type. He twisted that on its head. He played with the form and subverted expectations with the mid-tooth.
Yeah.
I admire that.
You know, considering that, representation in media is so important, you know, to see yourself on television.
Ugh.
Like... when I watch The Voice, you know, before I start watching Midsummer Murders, because I think of myself as a great singer. And so I like to see people sing. For you, it must have been great because you, instead of having those two teeth, you have just the one pointer just hanging down.
I do. I have one hanging down in from the middle of the roof of my mouth, as a matter of fact. It's right in there. It's like a, I use it like a syringe. I put a finger of the virgin boy in there. I press it up against the roof of the mouth, and I suck all the blood from the middle finger of the virgin boy.
Very nice. Can I ask you a question about virgins?
Oh, now, by all means.
When you say virgin boy, does it have to be can it be an adult that is a virgin?
Yes, absolutely, Lubin. It is, I am perfectly content, but it is in the same way that you have mutton and you have lamb, you know? It is a different texture, a different type of blood, but it is no less viable as a food source.
Yeah, okay. So, let's start our book discussion, eh? Let's get going with some books.
Okay, sure thing. Hit me. I know all of the books.
Okay, first of all, I want to know, what is your favorite book of all time?
No, well, of course, my favorite book of all time, Catcher in the Rye.
And what makes Catcher in the Rye such a great book?
Oh, it just captures the angst of the teenage experience, which is something I've not experienced for a long while, and cannot attest, my memory is not perfect, so I cannot attest to the accuracy, but I just have to guess that it is spot on, because everyone raves about it, you know?
Yeah. That's great. That's great.
And also, main character, virgin boy.
That must be very engaging for you to read. Like, if I read a book about a cow, and that cow, you know, went to boarding school, and he did some crazy shit, I would love it, because at the same time as enjoying the story, I would also be thinking about the fact that I could gobble that cow up.
Yeah, I think that is for me maybe one of the most compelling parts of any book is when you know you can eat the characters.
You must love Harry Potter.
A lot of people, I have other friends who have said you would love Harry Potter. It's just not for me, you know. It's just not for, I don't get it. I don't get the hype. Yeah, I was around when I saw them write the Bible, you know, and that was compelling characters. That was a compelling character. Obviously, I don't like to read Bible because it burns me to dust.
Yeah.
But that is an example of a compelling hero. And then I read the Harry Potter and I think, oh, you're just rehashing the same over and over. Do something new, you know?
What would you like to, if you could write Harry Potter, what would you put in there? What would you make Harry Potter do?
Vampire representation, for one. I would make him vampire. I would cast a vampire in lead role. None of this Daniel Radcliffe nonsense. Hey, you know this? Daniel Radcliffe is a vampire, and he didn't even do vampire stuff in the movies.
You know, that makes sense to me, because looking at him, he is very pale.
He is. We are all very, very pale. Yeah, that is a defining feature of us, of our one peers.
Totally. Like how you can tell a South African from our smell.
That's right. You have a rich odor. Very, very rich odor. Well, it's hard to define. It's like aniseed. It's licorice-y.
Yeah. We smell like licorice.
Yeah, you smell like licorice. And it's not a taste that everybody likes, but some people, the people that love it, they love it, you know?
Exactly. And that is the secret to a happy life. You need to find people that love your specific smell.
Yes, and Lubin, allow me to say, I know we are separated by a screen right now, but I love your smell, buddy.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Hey, I do appreciate that.
Can I ask you a question, Lubin Schmidt?
Yeah, please ask me a question, yeah.
And what is your favorite book? I know you don't read a lot, but you must have a favorite.
My favorite book, I do have one, that it is the last book I read before the crow took the antenna. My favorite book is the Transformers.
Oh, the novelization.
Of the film, yeah. It was just, I just love that film. I love that Michael Bay.
That Michael Bay, he does marvelous things with the explosion and with the quick editing, and you barely manage to process an image before the image is gone.
Exactly. The only thing that movie or slash book is missing is all the Transformers land up in a line.
Yes.
Eating the shit and eating the shit of others in some kind of Transformer centipede.
That you ought to pitch that to Mr. Bay. Because I'm visualizing it right now. I'm thinking, imagine Optimus Prime. I suspect he would be the head of the centipede. You'd have Bumblebee with his metal face welded to Optimus Prime's exhaust pipe on his asshole. And then you go all the way down. Megatron would be somewhere in the middle as well. He deserves it, the nasty man. And somewhere in there, Shia LaBeouf.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It would be so easy to join them because you simply, like you said, simply have to weld their face onto the anus of another Transformer.
It is much easier than with human.
I mean, you run into problems with Shia LaBeouf. I don't know how he would quite fit in.
Oh, look at that. I'm not married to the idea. We do not have to include that in the pitch. It's fine.
Totally. I mean, I think it is great. Like it is a sign of unity to see people land up in, you know, or Transformers or, you know, whatever, land up in that human centipede. It reminds me of shopping centers.
Oh, I see. Do you think of a shopping center as a kind of retail centipede with each shop connected to the anus of the next shop?
Yeah, and you see that as you come in, the first shops you see are the prime shops, and then it goes down in quality, much like the shit goes down in quality in the long line of the human centipede.
You've obviously seen Human Centipede more times than I. You have more of an understanding for the mechanics of the centipede. Is that true? Does the shit... Because, I mean, the initial shit is still shit, Lubin. How much can the quality go down?
Well, because... You know, every time it goes into the body of the next person in the human centipede, the shit gets processed and more nutrients get taken out of the shit. And then the shit that is produced from that is a weaker shit.
Have you seen the sequels?
No, I have not. I
may be wrong, but I think in the sequels there are more people added to the centipede. And I am curious as to what the final shit looks like. I would assume that it might start as a kind of a bulky turd, and then it would gradually lose structural integrity. The fiber would be absorbed, and eventually you'd probably get quite a watery shit.
I would say the people on the end would mostly be having a liquid diet. I think so. I think that's right. I have thought about it. But the great thing about the human centipede to me, and why, you know, I love to shop, I love to buy, I love to go in the shopping center, feel safe in there. But I would not mind being put in my own human centipede, because at least then I would have no unknowns in my life.
That is a wonderful way of looking. As a vampire, I have lived for so many times, what a lot of people say is many lifetimes I've lived. And it's so much. The uncertainty never stops, you know. Like I was saying, it's always crazy. You never are certain of anything, but you're right. Lubin, if I could simply have my face stitched on to the anus of another person, I would know what's coming, I would know what's going, nobody's happy.
Exactly. The way that you would be able to predict what was going to happen during the day would take a huge load off me.
Huge.
A huge load.
It reminds me of Albert Camus' The Myth of Sisyphus, you know? At the end of it, he says, you know, Sisyphus, he pushed the boulder up the hill, repeated the task again and again. At the end, Albert Camus, he says, one must imagine Sisyphus happy. And you know what? One must imagine the human centipede happy.
I think it is a gross misrepresentation in the film that everyone is so upset. They don't have to pay bills. They do not have to look after 8 boys that all are trying to become professional footballers. They do not have to put up with Tallulah, my wife, who is a very successful woman, and she is constantly working, she is constantly busy doing various things, and I am at home with the 8 boys, all trying to become Cristiano Ronaldo. Take me out of that, lift me up, and put me on the end of a human centipede.
Now, you would want to be at the end, you'd want to be final.
Well, I don't know, can you start at the front?
How do you mean? I don't know if you get promoted and relegated and so on. I think you kind of stick with your position, you know? If you start at the front, you still have... you have to eat food. I assume you make some choices. You're kind of a leader and responsibility, you know?
Yeah, I don't like
think
that.
Yeah, I suppose at the end, at least you have some mobility in your hips. You can kind of wiggle around that way, I suppose. It probably is the beneficial position.
Well, that's great, you know, because... I guess at the front you would be able to sing, and I love watching the voice.
So you do love to sing, Lubin.
That's true, but at the back you can wiggle and dance, so that is its own special thing.
Lubin, you've mentioned singing a couple of times now, and you may not know this about me, but in my many lifetimes, my many years on this planet, I have also not just read every book, but I've also learned every instrument.
You have learned every instrument.
Every instrument. And I thought maybe, as I don't really know how the format of the podcast works, but I thought if it was possible, I would show maybe a demonstration of what I have ascertained to be the most beautiful instrument.
I think that would be a great idea. You know, I don't want to talk about books, you know. I bought a book for this podcast, for the violence. The words were boring. Let's just, you know, it's our podcast now. We're best friends. Let's do what we want.
We are. This is the Best Friends Podcast. This is Dracul and Lubin Schmidt. Cool and smart. They can go and suck their own assholes. They can be their own human centipede, so far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. They can become one of those roly-poly bugs.
They can. We called those Slaters when I was a boy.
You called them Slater?
Slaters, yes. Or I think they're called a woodlouse.
A woodlouse?
We would call them a Slater, though, yes. And they curl up and eat their own backside, like an armadillo, but tiny.
Tiny armadillo. Yeah, that is correct. That is correct. So what is this music that you have, Dracul?
It is the recorder, Lubin. This is, I have lived so many times, so many years of my life, and never have I met an instrument that has the capabilities, the sound, the pleasant timbre, you know, to the ear. And I think it is the most beautiful. Do you agree?
I do love a recorder. I do not have great hearing. And the only thing that can really pierce the sound is the sound of the recorder, the cry of the dolphin, and for some reason, your voice.
There you go. I speak on a very specific frequency that convinces some people to buy Daihatsus and convinces some other people to be best friend. So it is variable.
And I did both. I did both.
You did both. Can I show you one of my favorite things about the recorder is you can disassemble it into many parts, and each one has a unique sound. This one, it goes a little something like this. Very high-pitched, no?
Yes, I got that. I heard that.
This one, when you blow it on its own, nothing happens.
This is great.
You need this part of the recorder to make the whole thing make the sounds.
So people take note because this kind of charisma and entertainment is only possible when a man has lived for as long as Dracul.
It's true. I've been around for so long and I've determined the right way to show everyone the magic of the recorder. First, you split it into its component parts. Now, look, I take off the end part. A little bit nicer. Am I wrong?
Completely. Yeah, that is much better. Yeah.
I add the final part. No change. No change whatsoever. It is the same as when you have these two parts. This part arguably does nothing.
You know, I wish, Dracul, that you had brought this up at the start of the podcast, and we had just done this for 55 minutes. It would have been absolutely...
Oh, I could do this. I could do this for another hour. I don't know how long the podcast normally is, but I can continue. Then you have so there are many holes on the recorder.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we got this note. And then you cover one with your thumb. Do you see the change?
Yeah, that is great. That is great.
Now we have 7 more holes to work through. So, strap in, Lubin.
Dracul, before I cannot wait till we get to learn about each 7 of the holes, okay? But I want to ask you a question that maybe might be a bit sensitive for me to ask, but I want to ask.
Okay.
But I want to just check in because it is one of my favorite movies because it's so funny. Did you get annoyed when the movie Borat came out?
I can't imagine why you would ask such a question, Lubin Schmidt. I don't know what a relevance that would have. Yes, I am a little bit tetchy now that you've brought it up, to be honest.
It seems like you are getting, you know, when the movie Blood Diamond came out, I was pissed. So I wonder, for you, you know, Borat, he has similarities to you. You know, is that unfair to say?
I think it's a little unfair to say. I'm not from Kazakhstan, for one thing. Yes, I own a mankini, but it is in a black and red configuration. None of this green nonsense. Look, and people sometimes say that the voice is sort of similar and these kind of things. People point this out in the street, they point at me and they say, Borat, Borat, and they, Borat Sagdiev, and they say, oh, there's a new Borat movie coming out, let's go hassle the guy who sells the Daihatsus at Harvey Norman. Yes, I'm a little bit annoyed you brought that up, Lubin Schmidt, if I can be honest.
I could not get it out of my mind, because when I bought my Daihatsu, you know, I was so excited and I said, this is the best shopping experience ever and I love to go to shops. And you said, very nice, at the end, at the end of it.
That is the thing that annoyed me most about the Borat film is that they took that line that I say all the time. Sometimes I wonder if Sacha Baron Cohen, if I sold him a Daihatsu in a previous life and I forgot about it because it was like, when I saw that film, it was like I was ripped from the headlines. Can I talk about my recorder or no?
No, I just wanted to clear this up because, you know, I know the people at home are probably desperate. Think of this as an ad break. People at home are probably desperate to get back to the record. I don't know how many people listen to this, probably 50 to 60,000, I don't know, you know, podcasts, you know, yeah, who knows?
Probably, yeah, probably somewhere in that range of upwards of 50 to 60,000, I would say.
I would say so. Do you know, I hope we're getting paid for this.
Yes, me too. I do most, like you have already said, you are a capitalist. I agree with you. I do things to get paid. I sell the Daihatsus for my money. I try to make a good living. But if not, I've spent an hour with my best friend.
Oh, that is very nice. That is very... Now, can I ask you one more question before we...
Can I show you every single note on the record?
Yeah, just... I want to ask you another question.
Note one.
Okay, note one. That's great. Thank you.
I'll just do a couple for you just to show. Okay. Note two. And note three. Your turn.
That's... I'm so glad that we are sharing as we are new best friends. You know, this is great. This would have been fantastic for me when I first moved to Australia and all I did was walk on the beach. Oh. I would walk and walk on the beach, smiling and waving at people, you know, and pretending to look for someone in the ocean.
That was before you'd even figured out where the shops were.
Exactly. I did not know where any shops were. My wife, obviously, she owns the car.
Sorry, you know, your what?
My wife.
My wife. Sorry, that's just how I would say it.
Yes, again, very similar to Borat.
Stop bringing it up, Lubin. It makes me tetchy. It makes me angry. It gives me the grumpies.
I don't want to give you the grumpies, you know? I don't. And I don't want to be, you know, somebody that is not making you grumpy because I make a lot of people grumpy. Let me tell you that much.
When you get on people's nerves, do you, Lubin?
I get on people's nerves all the time. You know, I walk along the beach and... And I carry with me huge sacks of raw meat that I throw into the ocean to try and see a shark. And I miss going diving in Cape Town and seeing the sharks. So I try and bring these sharks into the beach so I can see them. Because I used to run a cage diving business in South Africa and now I do not have one. And so I'm desperate to look into the eye of a shark again.
Lubin, can I tell you something that I think will brighten your day?
What is it?
Do you want to know something that attracts a shark without fail every single time?
What is it?
Note four. That's note four. That's the shark note, we call that. Shark note.
Oh, wow.
This is note five.
What is note five called?
Note five, that's just called note five. We have no further name for that. I didn't tell you the secret names of the first three notes, though. We'll loop around at the end. We got note one, okay. Two, three, shark note, note five, and then note six, and I'll save note seven for later.
Great, so what is the name of note six?
Note six, we call that special spectacular.
Oh, that is great. It's like a New Year's Eve firework, eh?
We call it that because it usually lowers prices if you are at a food court.
Oh, I need to get one of these. I love food courts.
This is what I'm telling you, Lubin. I'm telling you, this instrument is the best of all the instruments because each note, except for note five, which is just standard note, they all have very, very special functions that you have to learn.
That is absolutely amazing. Now, can I have a turn, best friend, to ask you a question?
Oh, right, I thought you were going to say, on my recorder, I was going to say, I cannot pass it through the screen, I can do many things, I can turn into a bat, I can ask for permission to go into a house, I cannot pass this through the screen.
Yeah, that is very true. I have seen you do some crazy things.
You have seen me do some crazy things, yes, I've been known to be wild.
You have done some absolutely crazy, I remember when I came into Avi Norman after I bought the Daihatsu, just to say hi, and just to say, you know, I'm still around, I'm still walking around the shopping center, I'm still heading about it, you know, I don't know where my, My 8 children now, they're probably practicing soccer. That's the one good thing about them all trying to be Cristiano Ronaldo is they practice all the time. They don't hug me because they said it's a waste of energy.
Yes. Would I be right in saying, were they in the rebel sport?
Yeah, they were all in the rebel sport, yeah.
Very good. I could have guessed. They're right. Yeah. Just across the way. I know the guy. I know the manager.
You would have seen them because I dropped them off at the rebel sport so that I can... My wife is very busy. She can...
Your what?
My wife...
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, she's very busy. She can't look after them. You know, she's got, you know, her job. And so I drop them off at Rebel. And then when I come back, the staff always say, we're calling child services. As I attach each of them to a leash, because I have one of those big leashes and there's 8 of them, yes. Right? And they're pulling and they've got strength because, you know, they've been working out because they want to be like Cristiano Ronaldo. I'm getting pulled around. It's very... I don't remember where I was going with this, but I did...
You started by saying you were going to tell a story about me doing a crazy thing, and then you got talking about your octuplet... not octuplets, they're not all the same age. That's what's fascinating about watching you when you are walking them, like a New York dog walker, is that you've got a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. And watching, I mean, the older ones have to sort of drag around the younger ones. It's a real imbalance of power. It's a real mad scramble.
It is absolutely crazy in my...
Can I tell you something, Lubin?
Yeah.
As a sign of my friendship to you, I will not eat the blood of a single one of your boys.
That is great. But what I think is, and I don't know if you can wait that long, but all of them came to me the other night while I was lying in bed. Obviously, my wife was not home. She was at work. She's very busy. And so I was lying in bed, and they all came and they said, Dad, we want to ask you a very important thing. If one of us does not make it as a professional footballer playing for Manchester United like Cristiano Ronaldo, we hope that you take us at the back and you kill us. You shoot us like a cow.
Oh, my word. Well... I think I know where you're going with this, Lubin, and let me say I do not want to deprive you of the opportunity to shoot one of your boys like a cow. I know how much you love to shoot a cow.
I don't want to do it, though. I love my boy. I love my boys. But I know that they will not recover if they are not professional soccer players.
Right. Can I ask, you were telling me this story and you were saying you were home alone. Who wasn't at home with you?
It was my wife.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Just checking.
Yes, I mean, it was quite peaceful, and some people might say it was very nice, but you know, for me, I like to socialize. That's what I was going to say. I remember when, you know, all that stuff came out about Avi Norman and mm-hmm. the fact that they had stolen funds from the taxpayer through the JobKeeper scheme with that scope. Remember. And people would say, return the money, Avi Norman. Return the money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you transformed into $6 million that I was did. Returned in briefcases. And then you transformed back into Dracula and off you went.
That's right. And I turned into $6 million in briefcases. I went into the government treasury. And then once I was in there, I turned back into Dracul, popped the locks on the briefcase. Then I turned into a flock of tiny little bats and I escaped at the air vents.
That was just the most amazing story I have ever heard. And that is
we packed a lot into the week that we knew each other before I was turned to dust.
We were so big. I mean, I was loving that week. I've got to say, Dracul, because usually, you know, I'm walking on the beach. I'm going to the shops. I'm walking my 8 children. You know, I'm getting hit in the head by soccer balls constantly.
Again
constantly.
And again and again. Yes.
Yeah. There's 8 of them and they all have their own ball.
And they're all saying, Dad, you're the crossbar. You're the crossbar. And they keep on kicking it in.
Exactly. They said crossbar challenge. And then they all kick the ball as hard as they can at my head.
At your head. It is a sight to behold.
It is not good. And then I get upset. I start to cry and I don't want my boys to see. So I go down to the beach and I do my walking. And then I get self-conscious about people seeing me walking up and down the beach alone. So I start pretending that I'm looking for someone out in the ocean while I'm throwing the meat in. People start worrying, asking me who I lost. I panic and I say, my 8 boys. And... Well, you know, people, as I said, people get very angry at me. So it's very important for, you know, you to be my friend.
Can I tell you a secret, Lubenschmidt?
Absolutely.
You say you got into this trouble because you were crying, and you didn't want to see, let your boys see you crying, and then you say you didn't want the strangers to know you were crying, so you lie to the people, and that gets you in trouble. Well, do you want to hear a note called the emotional intelligence note?
What does it do?
wait and feel. Note 7. Emotional intelligence for you, Lubenschmidt.
I need to leave, Dracul. I need to end this pod because I need to line up my 8 boys in a row and individually cry in their face to see the fact that I am crying and it's okay for a man to be sad. It's Are You Okay Day today, and I want to say I am not okay. I get kicked in the head by soccer balls 8 times in a row, multiple times a day, and then I lie about drowning 8 boys.
You do. It's a cycle, and it's time for you to break it. And now that I've gifted you the emotional maturity that you need, you are going to be able to make your boys proud, Lubenschmidt. And guess what?
What?
You will make me your best friend proud.
Oh, Dracul, that is so kind. Can I just check before you said you promised not to eat one of my 8 boys?
Only if I'm not given permission.
So previous to that, were you considering eating my boys?
It is time for us to end this podcast, Lubin. It is time for us to call a close on this, I believe.
I understand if you did want to eat my boys.
Cards on the table. I wanted to eat your boys. It's 8 boys, Lubin, and they're all little virgin boys. It's a fiesta. It's a buffet.
Exactly. And they all, you know, the older ones, although they have not started producing sperm, they're all no fap because they say Cristiano Ronaldo, he no fap. And so none of them fap.
They all do semen retention.
Yeah, they all retain the semen.
That's beautiful. I have to say, Lubin, now that we're being honest with each other, and I can't be giving you emotional intelligence without using it myself, I have to be honest with you. I need to tell you, when you invited me into your home and I saw these 8 boys lining up, I thought, here we go. It's feasty time. It's buffet central. And honestly, it is a stroke of luck that boy had to have his holy communion that day and turned me to dust. If it wasn't for him, I would have eaten the boys. Cards on the table. I admit it, Lubin. I'm sorry. I love you. You're my best friend.
Dracul, you know, many people would hear that and be disgusted, but I understand completely. You are my best friend. I have no other friend but you. You are the best friend I have ever had, the only friend I have ever had, and I will accept you for what you are.
Thank you, Lubin. Lubin, when all of this lockdown balloon bullshit, is all done, let's you and I go out and let's shoot a cow.
Let's absolutely do that. Because when we have finished building our lockdown hot air balloon and we float away together.
Oh, what a beautiful time that will be. I look forward to it.
It will be a beautiful time.
I do a little bit more on my scrapbook every day.
Me too. I have been making homemade cards with the balloon on.
Like little Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Everyone, 100 HP.
100 HP. Yes. Yeah. You should make a new card. You should make a card for Dracul. You should make a best friend card.
I will make it, and I will make sure it is a shiny card.
Oh, a shiny.
Yeah.
Don't put any crosses on it, and don't make it too shiny, because I can't see my reflection in it.
That's right. That is right. I will keep that in mind when I make it. Now, I thank you so much, Dracul, for coming on, because it has really firmed the bonds of our friendship, and I am so happy about that. And I understand that, you know, people that listen to this podcast wanted to hear about books. How about you go outside and you go and do something exciting?
I agree. Go outside. Go look at a shark in the eye. Go buy a recorder. Go make yourself into... Do something nice for yourself. Become a human centipede. Do something like that instead of reading all the books. I know. I've done it. I've read the books. It's whatever, you know? Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So I would like to say thank you to you and thank you to the people at home for listening to us come together. I hope it was a beautiful time. And I'm sorry about bringing up Borat.
That's okay. Hey, very nice. Does that make you happy if I say very nice?
Okay, I would love it if we could end the podcast, since it's your saying, with a big, very nice from you, the man, Jackul.
Let's do that. We'll end it on that note. Before we end it on that note, can I just say, I want to say a thank you to these cool and smart men who asked us to do this podcast. And I don't know, do they have any social media or anything like that?
Yeah, I have looked up my cousin Barney. They got Instagram, Kuhl with a K, and Smert. It's, you know, like it sounds, Smert, S-M-E-R-T, Kuhl and Smert. That is across social media, YouTube, Twitter, you know, Instagram, Facebook. You can connect with them.
Oh dear! Oh no! Okay, hang on.
Clap together. And
very nice.